U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates recommends new leaders for the Air Force. The 49th Fighter Wing gets its first F-22s. And is the era of air travel for the masses coming to an end? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 10th, 2008. U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates on Monday announced the two men he would like President Bush to nominate to replace General T. Michael Mosley and Michael W. Wynn in the top military and civilian posts in the U.S. Air Force. As ANN reported, Gates asked for the resignations of both men last Thursday, following an investigation casting doubt on the focus and performance of the Air Force's nuclear program. For Secretary of the Air Force, Gates wants Michael Donnelly, who currently serves as the Director of Administration and Management for the Department of Defense, and who previously served as Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management in the first Bush administration, and as Acting Secretary of the Air Force. To serve as Air Force Chief of Staff, Gates wants General Norton Schwartz, Commander of U.S. Transportation Command, who previously served as Director of the Joint Staff, Director for Operations for the Joint Staff, and Deputy Commander of Special Operations Command. The Associated Press notes that if Schwartz is nominated, it would mark the first time in over 25 years that the man in charge of the Air Force is not a former fighter pilot, another sign of a shakeup after a series of high-level missteps. In what will likely be one of his last official appearances, General Mosley was on hand at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico Friday to observe the formal beginning of operations for the Lockheed Martin F-22 Raptor with the United States Air Force's 49th Fighter Wing. Mosley has been a strong proponent of the aircraft. On Friday, he said of the Raptor, quote, "Today we open another chapter in our long-term plan for providing Air Force capabilities to the nation for meeting 21st century security threats. As you know, this past year we retired the last of our 59 F-117 Nighthawks that have served our nation so well over the years," unquote. Larry Lawson, Executive VP and F-22 Program General Manager for Lockheed Martin, added, quote, "The F-22 is the most advanced and capable fighter in the world. Now it stands ready at a key location in the United States, prepared to defend America and our allies. The pilots of the 7th, 8th, and 301st Fighter Squadrons will fly a weapons system that has the capabilities essential to dominate the air for the next three decades," unquote. Operational Raptors are assigned to the 1st Fighter Wing at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia, the 3rd Wing at Elmendorf Air Force Base, Alaska, and now the 49th Fighter Wing at Holloman. In the future, they'll also be based at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. So far, rapidly rising fuel costs have caused several small airlines to shut down or file for bankruptcy. The Dallas Morning News reports industry experts say if high fuel costs continue, bankruptcies will become the rule rather than the exception, and air travelers will awake to a very different 2009. Finance professor Harlan Platt at Northeastern University in Boston tells the paper he expects oil prices to drop, but isn't sure they'll drop enough to save the airlines. Quote, "If you don't have an oil price of about $75 or $80 a barrel, at the end of 2009, you'll have most of the airline industry on the financial ropes," unquote. Morgan Stanley analyst Ole Slorer doesn't share Dr. Platt's optimism. Slorer predicts unprecedented Asian demand will keep pushing oil prices higher, to $150 a barrel by the U.S. July 4th holiday weekend. Platt responds, quote, "If that happens and if that price holds, they'll need to file for bankruptcy protection. And by they, I mean most of the airline industry," unquote. What does this mean for ticket prices? Well, Tom Parson of bestfares.com says a family traveling from Dallas to Tampa around Christmas, after the announced capacity cuts take effect, could pay $524 to $977 per passenger on American Airlines. Parson says among the other effects will be continued service on successful routes, but cuts in marginal markets, and some small markets will lose service altogether. Those which keep service will see service catering to business flyers, not to families on tight budgets. So what's a vacationer to do? Wait until after summer. Parson says demand is likely to fall after Labor Day, with fares to Europe down $300 to $500 from their summer peak. As United Airlines prepares to cut its fleet and capacity, its workforce faces the uncertainty of knowing the company will also need to shed employees. For flight attendants, at least, that future is coming into focus. United and the Association of Flight Attendants say they've agreed on a one-time offer for eligible flight attendants to voluntarily leave their jobs. Bloomberg calls it the first offer of its type to flight attendants since the early 1980s. Up to 600 United attendants who are at least 45 years old and have at least 15 years of flight attendant service with the company as of August 1st will be eligible for severance payments of $500 for each year of service as an attendant, up to 25 years. That works out to as much as $12,500, payable in 12 installments starting in January. Now, if that doesn't sound like a whole lot to get in return for giving up your job, at least they'll have some notice of the timing. Coming up on ANN, regular A380 service to New York starts on August 1st. Leahy says Airbus has learned from its mistakes and from Boeing's. And Silverjet may be back in the air shortly. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. VRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a VRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The first commercial flight to the U.S. by an Airbus A380 will happen August 1st in the form of a 14-hour nonstop flight from Dubai on Emirates. The flight will use the first A380 to be received by the airline. That delivery is expected July 28th. In announcing the date for the debut, Emirates CEO Sheikh Ahmad bin Zayed Al Maktoum commented, quote, "The United States represents a key focus area in Emirates' route development plans. We are confident that Emirates customers traveling to and from North America will welcome the A380's additional space and capacity, as well as our luxurious onboard amenities, which will provide a very high-quality travel experience previously associated only with private jets," unquote. Powered by Engine Alliance GP7200 engines, Emirates A380s can fly up to 7,456 miles on a full load and claim better fuel economy per passenger mile than most hybrid cars. After New York, the aircraft are scheduled to operate on Emirates routes from Dubai to London Heathrow and Sydney Auckland. The airline is the largest single customer for the A380, with 58 of the planes on order. In March of 2007, when Boeing was still insisting the Dreamliner would roll out on schedule, Airbus Chief Operating Officer and Head of Sales John Leahy caught flack for predicting it would be 6 months late. What looked like competitive backbiting at the time looks downright prescient in hindsight. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports Leahy told an interviewer at last week's International Air Transport Association membership meeting in Istanbul that Boeing failed to learn from the mistakes his own company made in rolling out the A380 Super Jumbo. That plane was delayed 2 years, due in large part to issues with complicated wiring harnesses. Leahy says Airbus, on the other hand, has learned from Boeing's recent experience with the Dreamliner and promises the schedule set for development of the Airbus A350XWB has plenty of slack to accommodate the unforeseen. Quote, "I think we learned that on the A380. It was a very painful tuition. We needed to have a slower ramp-up, better program management, and better coordination of the supply chain. Boeing didn't learn those lessons from us, and so it's repeating the mistakes with the 787. We have been watching very carefully," unquote. Perhaps Boeing has learned something as well. Pat Shanahan, 787 program chief, said last month the revised Dreamliner schedule is more conservative and has built-in margins in case other issues come up. The news has been full of airlines shutting down operations recently, but one is poised for a comeback. Silverjet is a British specialty business class airline serving London, Newark, and Dubai. After starting scheduled service in January of 2007, the airline won a number of awards for its service, including a Condé Nast Traveler Innovation and Design Award last year. Early last month, Silverjet announced it had secured $8.4 million in financing from Viceroy Holdings, a development fund based in the United Arab Emirates and the United States. But on May 23rd, when the carrier discovered it was unable to gain access to $5 million of the money, it suspended trading of its stock. Then on May 30th, operations were suspended. Administrator Begbie's trainer told the Associated Press Monday he has received a formal offer from King Place, based in Ireland, and managed by Geneva-based management company Heritage CSA, to buy and relaunch the airline. If Silverjet returns, it may find the competitive waters a little less treacherous than during its first go. MaxJet Airways and EOS, both U.S.-based airlines which started business class service between London and New York in 2006, ahead of Silverjet, have both folded up shop during the recent run-up in fuel prices. A flight attendant who admitted to deliberately starting a fire in the lavatory of the aircraft he was crewing in May has pleaded not guilty to the resulting charges. Former Compass Airlines flight attendant Eder Rojas appeared in federal court in Fargo, North Dakota last week. The Associated Press reports he's charged with knowingly and willfully setting fire to an aircraft. Rojas earlier confessed he lit a packet of paper towels on fire in the rear lavatory of the Embraer 175 during the May 7th flight because he was upset the airline made him work that route. Flight 2040 diverted to Fargo and made an uneventful emergency landing. None of the 72 passengers and four crew members on board were injured, but they were questioned by FBI agents and police when they arrived. Rojas has been released into the custody of his father. The trial is scheduled to start July 21st. Still ahead, the Army National Guard takes delivery of its first two UH-72A Lakotas. Altion Training has a new VP and chief pilot. And NASA wants to send your research project to the moon. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. EADS North America's first two UH-72A Lakota light utility helicopters for the U.S. Army National Guard were formally presented Saturday to the 1st Battalion, 114th Security and Support, which performs homeland security, counter-drug, and other operations from its base at Mississippi's Tupelo Regional Airport. Army National Guard units will ultimately get 200 of the 345 Lakotas planned for acquisition through 2017. EADS says it's producing four per month and could build five. The light utility helicopter contract was awarded in June 2006, followed by EADS North America's startup of UH-72A deliveries in November that year. As ANN reported, operational service began in early 2007 at Fort Irwin, and the Army issued full-rate production authorization for the Lakota last August. The two units presented Saturday were the 28th and 29th UH-72As delivered by EADS North America. The company stresses that all 29 helos have been delivered on or ahead of schedule. The entry into service of the Lakota will enable the retirement of aging OH-58 and UH-1 helicopters. Lakota deliveries to the Army will also free up UH-60 Blackhawks for assignment to warfighting missions. The UH-72A is based on the Eurocopter EC-145 multi-role civilian helicopter, which is in service worldwide for transport, medical evacuation, offshore, law enforcement, and other missions. Boeing subsidiary Altion Training announced on Monday the appointment of Alan Thompson as the company's new chief pilot and vice president of flight operations. Thompson will oversee flight operations and Altion instructor pilots and report directly to Chief Operating Officer Dr. Len Weber. Thompson joined Altion in 2001 and was most recently director of flight training, managing all aspects of flight training and instructor resources in Seattle, Washington. He started at Altion as fleet manager for the 747-400 in Korea and has held leadership positions in operations or flight training at Altion facilities around the world. Altion Training President Sherry Carberry praised Thompson's qualifications. Quote, Al has 46 years of experience in the aviation industry, a strong airline and military background, and good relationships with key regulatory authorities around the world. Al used to fly commercial aircraft for the world's top airlines. He understands the challenges pilots face and can test new courseware to determine the effectiveness for our customers. He is an excellent mentor for our instructors, and I am confident Al will ensure that Altion continues to hire and retain the best instructors in the business, unquote. Thompson's pre-Altion resume starts in 1962 with the Royal Canadian Air Force and includes varied positions with Canadian Pacific Airlines and Canadian Airlines. He also spent 5 years at Singapore Airlines as the Boeing 747-400 commander. You say you've heard for years about various scientific research projects being shot into space by NASA, but never figured out how to get yours on the list? Well, an opportunity is coming up. NASA's Science and Exploration Systems Mission Directorates are seeking research projects for the NASA Lunar Science Institute, based at the Ames Research Center in California. Proposals must include an innovative, interdisciplinary lunar research program that aligns with the Institute's goals and objectives. You may address science of, on, and from the moon, including objectives that meet NASA's future lunar exploration needs. NASA expects to make $8 to $10 million available for the research and anticipates making 5 to 7 awards, including one focused on exploration objectives. Participation is open to all categories of organizations, both domestic and foreign, but notices of intent are due June 27th and proposals August 29th. You'll find more info in the text version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Finally, a Lockheed P-38 Lightning, which suffered a forced landing in a cotton field in 2001, is finally back in the air, but the road to restoration has been long and rocky. This particular P-38 is known as White Lightning and was flown by Lefty Gardner at many Reno air races and air shows around the nation from the 70s through the 90s. On June 25, 2001, Lad Gardner, Lefty's son, had an internal compressor wheel failure in the left engine of the P-38 on descent to land in Greenwood, Mississippi. He put it down in the cotton field. No one was injured, but the plane was trucked back to Texas for extensive repairs. 4 years later, the Gardner family brought themselves to admit it would take more money than they had to get the plane back in the air. They sold it to Red Bull, the energy drink company, hoping it would get the attention it needed. The job was handed to Azel Aviation in Breckenridge, Texas, a company noted for Warbird restorations, and work was nearly complete in April of this year when a tornado hit the airport. Damage at the airport was heavy, but White Lightning escaped with minor damage to the elevator and right side tail boom. Last week, with well-known Warbird pilot Steve Hinton at the controls, November 25 Yankee took to the skies for an uneventful 20-minute flight, polished silver and looking like new, except for the race modifications that gave the engine cowlings a distinctive look. Red Bull says the plane is headed eventually for a new home at its Hangar 7 facility at the Salzburg Airport in Austria. White Lightning has earned some R&R. Warbird indeed. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Doug Barker, who spearheaded the recent formation of the Utah Rotorcraft Association. The group is holding its first fly-in this weekend at West Desert Air Park in northern Utah. Doug will fill us in on the details. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.